You'll please take your Bibles and open to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. The subject matter that I'll be preaching on tonight may not be labeled Thanksgiving, but I think once we listen to the message, that if we are thankful for what the Lord has done, that we can appreciate the message. And that we will show the Lord how thankful we are by the things that we do for Him. If you're with me, John chapter 14, verse 15. The Bible says clearly, Christ says clearly, if you love me, keep my commandments. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word. Lord, I'm nothing without you. Dear Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead and guide and direct this service. Lord, thank you for the singing. Thank you for the freedoms that we have to be here. But Lord, we need to hear from you. Father, please hide me behind the cross. And Lord, please speak through me. Use me as a vessel, Father. But please speak to our hearts. Help us to evaluate our lives. And Lord, if there is someone here tonight that's not saved, Father, please extend another opportunity to them before it's everlasting too late. That you would draw them to yourself, that they might be gloriously saved tonight. Or Lord, its seed would be planted that might come to fruition later. But Father, we need you. Lord, I thank you. You've been so good to me. Lord, I don't deserve a thing other than hell. But Lord, thank you for all that you do for me. Lord, please bless this word. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Of course, we have one of the great chapters in John, in the way that I believe and the way that I feel, because he told us clearly he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, in verse 6. And then we find him talking to his disciples. In fact, he was speaking to Philip when he said this, and he let him know that if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, this is not for salvation, and I hope that you understand this. Many people today, they say they believe in Jesus, they say they love Jesus, but they're still trying to work their way to heaven. It's not going to happen. It'll never happen. Jesus said clearly he is the way, the truth, and the life. And my message is not on verse 6. But the point of the matter is, if you are saved tonight, we can sing songs such as, "Oh, how I love Jesus." We can sing songs, "My Jesus, I love thee." Or, "I love him." We can sing these songs, but not mean them in our heart. And definitely not show them through our actions. When we think about our life today, how blessed you and I are, those of us that are children of God, those of us who have been born again, what a great blessing it is that Jesus loved us, that he loves us, and that he even loves the unsaved. What a great Savior. What a great God that we serve. And as we look at this verse once again, I want you to pay attention to the last part of the verse. Notice he didn't say, keep the commandments. Do you see that? He didn't say, keep Moses' commandments. He said, keep my commandments. With this statement, whether you realize it or not, he is giving his authority as being God. Because any commandment that goes against the word of God, of course, is sin. But here Jesus is only, he came to fulfill the law, did he not? And he fulfilled the law perfectly. Our spotless lamb that was offered up for you and I on the cross of Calvary. But he is telling his disciples, if a man love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we'll get into those commandments here in just a little while. But the thing of the matter is, when we think about the commandments, whose are they? Who has told us that we ought to keep them? And we can go into the Ten Commandments. We can go into the 613 things that were commanded to the nation of Israel that they ought to carry out and things of that nature, but not one of us can even carry out the two commandments that the Lord broke it all down to. Not the way that we should. But we are able through Christ. But God. And I praise the Lord for that fact that God can help us. But he said, my commandments. And if you'll skip on down to verse 21. He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He goes on to say, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, even if a person doesn't keep God's commandments, does Jesus love them? Absolutely. How did Jesus demonstrate his love? He demonstrated his love perfectly on the cross of Calvary. He demonstrated it perfectly of his commitment. And by the way, I'm teaching your teenagers the difference between love and commitment as far as the world's definition of love today. And I hope that you are encouraging your teenager to stay in the Word of God and to know what love means according to the Scriptures. Because today, love used in our vernacular that we have in our nation today is not the same thing as biblical love. Today it's all based on emotions, feelings, and gushy stuff. But true love is commitment. It's sticking through the hard times. It's not giving up. It's not quitting. It's staying faithful and seeing everything through. Jesus could not have said it is finished had he not stayed committed on that cross to pay for our sins, to pay for my sins. And I'm so thankful that he saw it faithfully all the way to the end. And that my sin debt is paid and your sin debt is paid. But he loved me even before I knew him as my personal Savior. I just did not know him. But I'm glad that I do know him. And here he is promising those that keep his commandments. He says that the Father will love them. But then he goes on to say that he will manifest himself to him. To that person that loves the Lord. Jesus is going to reveal himself more and more in our lives as we obey and do the things that he has commanded us to do. And what a blessing that is. And many times I believe that I get my eyes off of the Lord. I have to use my own self personally because I can't speak for you. But many times when I lose sight of Jesus, when I take my eyes off of him, I have to wonder, well, Lord, where are you? But he hasn't moved. He hasn't changed. My perspective has changed because I quit looking at him and started looking at the situation. Or started loving myself more than I love him. And that happens, by the way. Or loving other things before I love him the way that I should love him. And those things will keep him from manifesting himself to me the way that he wants to reveal himself in my life and show me the things that he wants me to have to know because I'm not loving him the way that I should. But I'm so thankful that he gives us opportunity after opportunity. Now, if it's mentioned in the Bible one time, I think it's very important. But here now, he said it twice. If you love me, keep my commandments. A man that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he it is that loveth me. Now, if you look at verse 23. Now he's speaking to Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. Or keep my words, excuse me, keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Aren't you glad when you can honestly sense the presence of the Holy Spirit? How many times do we have the blessed opportunity and privilege to come into this house of God? And you can just sense that the Holy Spirit is working, that he is moving in people's lives, that he is giving help to people. And you just know that he's here. And it's because we have tried to open our hearts and we have invited him to come into the service and to help us because we love him. But how did we learn to love? Well, he showed us how to love. It's not something that we figured out and we came to him and said, Lord, I'm going to love you no matter how you are. No. It's not that way at all. He's the one that loved us first. And I praise the Lord for that. I wouldn't know how to love if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I know what the world says. I know what the world practices. But true love, I'll take God's love any day. And I hope that I can show God's love any day. And that should be the goal in my life and your life as well. And praise the Lord for these things because God loves us. Now, some of the things that the Lord commanded, do you realize that he told people to have faith in God? That's a commandment. The Lord wants you to have faith in God. Would you look at verse 1 of chapter 14? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? What did he say here? What did he command? Believe also in me. And here's the great divide amongst religious Christians. Many people, even the devils, they believe in God and tremble. But they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe that he is God. Calling him a prophet sounds good, but he's more than a prophet. Calling him a good man, that's blasphemous in my opinion, because he is the God-man. He is perfect in every way. He is holy. He is righteous. He is our example, and praise the Lord for that. But he says, hey, if you believe in God, believe in me also. How many of you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? And we say we do that. We say we love the Lord, right? But Jesus put a condition on how to know someone loves him. And that condition was, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Not to be saved. I cannot stress that enough. You can be saved and not love the Lord. Okay? You can be saved and not love the Lord, at least not the way that you should. And what we need to do is make sure that we love the Lord the way that he is worthy of. Because he deserves the preeminence. He deserves the first place in our lives. And as we think of these things, it's so important that we stop allowing circumstances and situations to affect our love towards God. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He promised that he will be with us in the valley or on the mountaintop. And I want you to think about that, because so many times when things are good, I mean, I have had a tremendous week in the Lord this week. I praise the Lord. It's not always that way. But the Lord has answered so many prayer requests that I have put for him personally. And it's just like the Lord opened up the floodgates this week. And I'm blessed. I am so blessed. He has answered personal things that were very dear to my heart. And I just want to praise him for it. But more than just give him lip service, I want to serve him the way that he is worthy to be served. I want my life to be that living sacrifice that Romans chapter 12 talks about. That God can tell me to do whatever it is that he wants me to do, and I won't even think twice about it. I'll just do it. Why? Because I love him. How many of you heard Pastor quote, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift? Amen? Think about all that God has given to you and I, and it's all for our benefit. Because of his selfless love towards us. Because he loves us so much. That gift, it started in the beginning. The payment for our gift of salvation started in the beginning. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And his love was demonstrated even though that he created Adam and Eve, knowing that they would sin against him. He still allowed them to be created. Because there's always been a plan for the redemption of man. And God would be that redeemer. And God would selflessly put himself and allow himself to be ridiculed, mocked, blasphemed, beaten, and suffer all sorts of evil just for you and I. So that he could pay for our sin debt, so that he could have us with him for all eternity. If we'll just receive him as our personal Savior. What a Savior we have. If you'll please turn for me to 1 John chapter 5, or chapter 4, excuse me. 1 John chapter 4. When you arrive there, please say amen. Now again, I want to remind everybody, I remind the teenagers often, you know, chapter and verse divisions were put there by man. And so, I believe the Word of God is inspired. I believe it's inerrant, that there is absolutely no error in it whatsoever. And just because there's a chapter division doesn't stop the thought process of what was being displayed on the Word of God here. And so we're going to start in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. The Bible says clearly, we love him because he first loved us. Amen? And when you look at that, as I've already mentioned it, I've kind of alluded to it a couple of times already, the only reason I can love Jesus is because he does love me. And it's easy to love a person that loves you, is it not? It is easy to give thanks to a person that does good to us. And so it's easy for me to say that I love Jesus. It's easy for me to try to love Jesus, but he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me when I was despicable. A heathen, a wretch, a worm. That's when he loved me. I love him because he's been good to me, right? But I want to love him because he is worthy of my love. Amen. I want to serve him because he is worthy to be served. And this should be the desire of all of our hearts that say that we know Jesus and that we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. How do we treat the brethren? In most places, they do shoot the wounded in the church. You see a brother in sin, you see a sister in sin, instead of helping them, they do. They try to cast them out. That's not what the Lord said. You are spiritual, restore such a one. Right. We are to try to reach out and love people back to the Lord. When the Lord told Peter that Satan was going to sift him, Satan was going to have his way for a little bit in Peter's life, he said, but I have prayed for you. See, Jesus, even though bad things happen in our lives, He prays for you and I. Now, what other God have you ever heard of that prays for His followers? Anyone? People pray to a statue of stone or gold or silver or wood, and there's no response because, first of all, it's not a God. And they declare their love for this God that can't do anything for them. This God has not ever done anything for them at all. But we have a God that communicates. We have a God that cares enough to say, well, things are going to happen, but I'm going to be with you. Things are going to take place in your life, but be of good comfort. I have prayed for you. And I'm thankful that the Lord prays for us. See, He prayed for us back in John chapter 17. Because we weren't around then, but those that will believe on my name, He prayed for them. Think about that. What a great Savior that we have. And then He goes on to say, but if we don't love our brother, it's going to get us to the commandment, the two commandments that the Lord gave us here in just a minute. He said, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Very good questions that we must ponder in our hearts, that we must answer honestly before the Lord. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, what? Love his brother also. Does that remind you of some verses that the Lord spoke early on? Or even back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, that Israel was to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, and soul? That's the way that we should love him. And as we think about these things, it's so vitally important that we understand these commandments. They came from God. But if you're going to say that you love God, you need to love your brother also. Your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ. And there are times that, people will come in and maybe they're not the way that we are. They say they love Jesus, but somehow we seem to shun them. Somehow we seem to have our cliques and our circles. Thank God I don't notice that at all here. But I've been in other churches where there's this circle of people and that circle of people. And, you know, they say they're all part of the same family of God, but yet they shun one another or avoid one another. We ought not to be that way. Each and every one of us, we're children of God if we have been born again. And God says to love one another. And I know that they say that, you know, God is love, and He is love. And He even demonstrated to us how to love. And aren't you glad about that? But how would we want others to treat us? Consider thyself, lest you fall also. How would I want someone to treat me or to deal with me if something in my life is not right with the Lord? How would I want someone to respond, to treat me, to act? And as we think of that, you know, it's so important that we do consider ourselves. But so many times we're making ourselves the example instead of Christ. And as we look at the people, as we look at what they're doing, the sin has allowed to come into their life. And by the way, we all allow sin in our life. That's why there's sin in our life. We allowed it to get there. We don't have to sin. We choose to sin. And as you think of that, are you willing to allow people to cast you away? To allow people to shun you and not love you because you messed up? Or do you want people to say, listen, you've messed up, but now it's time to get right with the Lord. You've messed up, but you don't have to keep staying messed up. You don't have to keep staying in that sin that you've committed. We want people to reach out to us and to love us because it could easily be us. It could easily be me in that situation. Amen. Has been me in that situation. Yeah. Think about that. Not only could it could be, it has been. And I'm thankful for those that look past my faults and in a loving way said, come on, bonehead, let's get right with the Lord now. Because that's what we need. We need encouragers. We need those that are going to lift us up and hold us up when we can't stand up by ourselves. Now, the Lord's there to do that as well. And we need Him more than anyone else. But isn't it good to know you have brethren that are looking after you, that care about you, that want to make sure that everything is okay in your life? I'm going to turn off this lapel. I'm getting too much echo back here. Can you hear me? But it's just wonderful to be able to have these things. And as we think about it, God continues to go on in chapter 5, verse 1. The Lord's giving us these words. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ, is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him, that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. When we receive Christ as our personal Savior, we become sons of God. That's what the Bible clearly teaches in John chapter 1. But it tells us, if we're born again, that we're also going to love the begotten, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. And we ought not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even as a saved person, you can be ashamed and not testify of the Lord. I want to caution you there, because He is exactly what everyone else needs. He is exactly what the lost need. And He is the only one that could rescue us from ourselves, from hell. And that is very, very important that we share that. But He says, if you're born again or born of God, you're going to love the begotten. And I hope that I don't have to just say that I love Jesus. I hope people can see in my life that I love Jesus. Because talk is cheap. We know that. Anyone can blurt out, I love you. But they don't mean it. And you know when they don't mean it. And you know when they do mean it. And so I want to be real. And I hope you want to be real. And I hope that when I say I love Jesus, it's not just words leaving my lips that are empty and price, or you know, there's no price to them because they're just invaluable whatsoever. I want my life to reflect that I love Jesus, but that's up to me. No one can force me. I have to want to do that. And the older I get and the more that I know about the Lord, the more I do want to serve Him. The more I do want to please Him and demonstrate my love for Him. And I hope that's your desire as well. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and what? Keep His commandments. Again, this is not for salvation. And so many people are trying to work their way to heaven. It's not going to happen. But when you love God, then you're able to love your neighbor. But you can't love God unless you love your neighbor. You can't love God unless you love your brother. That doesn't mean you don't belong to God. It just means you don't love God the way you should. There's that agape love. There's that phileo love. And God deserves agape love. God is not my friend per se to love Him in a phileo type of manner. But ought to give Him that agape love, that unconditional, that commitment love, that love that shows Him that He's special, that He is my all in all, because the Lord is my all in all. He is the one that I need. If without Him, I'm nothing. Without Him, I'm worthless. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? He is worthy for me to love Him the way that He loved me. I can't love Him exactly the way that He loved me, but I can do my best to make sure that I show Him through keeping His word, through loving Him, loving my brother, and allowing Him to work in my life. For this is the love of God, verse 3, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad that whatever the Lord asks us to do, it's not too much to do. With His help, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I mean, that has been my life verse, Philippians 4:13. But, you know, we say those verses and then we come up to something and we're faced with the situation. I can't do it. Wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. By God's help, by God's power, I can do things. But these verses all correlate with what we find in John chapter 14. But Jesus, when he gave the commandments, if you'll turn me to John chapter 13, the Gospel of John, John 13. The Lord, I'm glad that he makes things simple, because there's a lot of things I wouldn't understand. What about you? Now, there's a lot of things I don't understand. But the things that I need to understand, I'm glad that the Lord makes them very simple. And here in John chapter 13, if you will, look with me at verse 34 and verse 35. Do you have it? Amen. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Now here's the qualifier: "As I have loved you." Do you see that? Think about marriages today. Think about divorce today. People get married, they say they're in love, they say, "I know this is the person for me," and then the next thing you hear them say, "Well, I fell out of love with that person." Aren't you glad that Jesus could not fall out of love with us? That he didn't fall out of love with us? But see, that's because love is commitment. Love is not based on how we feel. Love is not based on situational circumstances. Love is based on a decision. For God so loved the world that he gave. Do you see that? See, love is an outward expression. But so many times we allow it just to be words, empty words that fall flat, that have no meaning, have no basis. We need the Lord. We need to show our love the way he did, through commitment. He says, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Do you see that? We are to love one another, but there's so much hate in churches today. There's so much division in many churches today. Churches having splits. Churches closing down. All because of offenses. All because of misunderstandings. Whereas if we demonstrated the love of Christ the way that he wanted us to, how better would things be? Would our lives not be more improved? Would our churches not be stronger? How many people have walked out of church, not necessarily this one, but any church, because they didn't feel the love of the congregation towards them? I'm glad that when people come here, they know that they're welcome. I'm glad that many of you, when you see a visitor, you make sure to walk right up to them, shake their hand. "Hey, we're glad to see you. We're so thankful that you chose to be with us today. We don't care who you are. We don't care where you come from. You're welcome here." You don't see that in a lot of churches anymore. If you don't line up to our standards, if you don't dot your I's and cross your T's the way we do, we don't want you here. Well, that doesn't demonstrate the love of Christ. What is going to draw a person to Christ? Them seeing the love of Christ in us. Them seeing Jesus in us. The whole point of doing good works was that people would see God in us and glorify him. To glorify him. And we have nothing to gloat of. We have nothing to brag about, because it's all because of him that we can do the things that we do. And he did it because he loves us. And we ought to do it because we love him. What a great blessing to be able to know these things. I want you to think about Peter. How many of you, boy, you know Peter messed up. How many times did he deny the Lord? Three times. Reprobate, failure, loser. Wait a minute. How many times do we deny the Lord? How many times through our actions we deny that we know the Lord? We may not say it. "You love God?" "Yes, I love God." "Who are you to question if I love God or not?" Wait a minute. Have they been studying our life? Have they been watching our actions? Do our actions line up with our words? You know that word hypocrite, we hate it, but a lot of times we demonstrate it. We think about that. I should not have to tell you that I love Jesus, honestly. I shouldn't have to say it verbally. You should be able to see it in my life. And if you don't see it, it's not your fault. It's not because you don't have spiritual eyes. If you're not seeing the love of Christ in me, it's because I'm not doing things the way I should be, I guess. And, you know, I can say I guess all I want to. That's trying to make a cop-out as I'm here preaching the Word of God. Listen, people will know if we love Him the way that we love Him, the way we should. There will be no doubt in their mind. And I hope that I can improve my life in such a way with His help. That's the only way I can do it. But, you know, Peter was willing to die for the Lord. Did you know that? Peter said he would not deny the Lord. But Jesus knew ahead of time that he would. And he told him how many times he would deny him. And when that persecution came, now Peter was saved. But when that persecution came, you're one of them. You know this man. I don't know him. In fact, on the third time, it said that he cursed and said that he knew not the man. Was Jesus through with him? Did Jesus say, I can't believe it? What a disappointment. No, after the resurrection, Jesus specifically called for Peter. Think about that. What a blessing. Aren't you glad God treats us that way? Aren't you glad that when we mess up, when we deny Him through our actions, that He's not through with us? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me to John chapter 21? John chapter 21. When you arrive there, please say amen. We're going to look at verses 15 through 17. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, first of all, what did Jesus name Simon? Think about this. He named him Peter. Little rock, right? Little pebble, stone. But what is he referring to him as here? Simon, the name that he had before he came to know Christ. Why? Because of his actions. This is my speculation, my understanding, that he wanted to get Simon's attention that he wasn't acting like Peter. He was acting like Simon. You know, we should act like Christ, not like our old selves. And he came and he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, Jesus was using agape. Simon was responding with phileo. The different types of love, that brotherly love and that godly love. Peter, Simon, he saith unto him, Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Does God know that Simon loved him? Did he know then? Yes, he knew. But he was asking him. So he asked him the first time. Jesus then said, Feed my lambs. Do you see that? Now, what does that entail? That means serve others. Bring up others. Teach others. So you're taking care of those lambs. You've got to take care of them and feed them because they don't know how to take care of themselves. Those little lambs. Think about that. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Aren't you glad to be a sheep in the family of God? You know God wants us to be fed. You know God has given us a wonderful pastor to feed us. Aren't you thankful for that? How many people write in, they don't have a pastor that could feed them like our pastor feeds? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him, how many times now? Verse 17, the third time. How many times did Christ or Peter deny Christ? Three times. This was a specific lesson for Peter's understanding and for you and I. Peter denied him three times, but Jesus is giving him three times to tell him that he loves him. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? I wonder what was going through Peter's mind at that time. Doubtless he was remembering that he denied the Lord three times. Doubtless he was remembering his time of weakness, his time that he didn't stand up when he said that he would. Has there ever been times when we promised the Lord we would do something and we failed to follow through with it? Have there been times that we denied the Lord through our actions when we said we would never do that? Of course. So let's not be too hard on Peter. In fact, I find myself a lot like Peter in the way that he was so quick to open his mouth and say things and declare things and then fall flat on his face. Amen? Thank God there's hope because the Lord helped Peter. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Do you want to prove to God that you love him? Serve others. Is that keeping his commandments? Absolutely. What did Jesus do when he came? He was a servant. He was a servant. He loved those that were unlovable. He helped people. He fed people. He healed people. Now, we can't heal, but God can. But the fact of the matter is, through Jesus' ethics, through the morals that Jesus displayed, because he is God, because he is righteous, he is an example to you and I. Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our example. Now, in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, it's talking about all the heroes of the faith in chapter 11. And it's telling about all the things through faith that they did, but then it gives us our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. How that we are to pattern our life after him. Did Jesus love people? Did they have to question his love? Never. They knew that he loved. And people ought to know that we love. People shouldn't have to question, do they really love me? Do they really care? We should be able to show that through the way we live our lives. As we think about these things, I'm glad that God gave him opportunity to fix where he had failed. I'm glad God gives us opportunities. Would you turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, please? We're almost done. Revelation chapter 2. Here the angel of the Lord is speaking unto the church of Ephesus. In verse 1 it says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil." Aren't those good things for a church to carry out and practice? How many of you would say yes? I think we ought to have churches that carry out this type of practice, right? Don't we need to hate the evil, but don't hate the sinner? Hello? Hate the sin, not the sinner. And so many times, people are condemned by so-called Christians because of their sin, whereas we need to love that sinner because Christ loved us. But Christ knew their works. He says, "Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars." Should we be vigilant? Should we be on guard as the who comes into this church to preach or to teach? Well, we should. And I'm glad we have a pastor that has the knowledge and wisdom of the Holy Spirit to be able to discern these things. To protect this flock. Because wolves will come in. Think about that. They'll try to divide and to tear up. But they have tried these things and they found out, you know, they're liars and has borne and has patience. And for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. But then the Lord says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first," what? Who was the church's first love? It's the Lord Jesus. Wait a minute, this church was doing right. Please understand, brothers and sisters, we can be doing things in the Lord, but not for the Lord. We can be doing things because of tradition. We can be doing things because that's what's expected of us, but if we don't do it in the love of Christ, that work is vain. That work will not bring honor and glory to the Lord. We ought to do what we do because we love the Lord, because we're thankful for what he has done in our lives. And here they were doing everything right, but he said, and we don't know exactly what was taking place here, but he said, "You left your first love." Does Jesus know if I love him? Does Jesus know if you love him? And he even told us how he knows. If you keep my commandments. If you follow my example. If you live the way that I told you, I want you to live. not to be saved, but to demonstrate that we love him, to prove to him our love for him. Is he worthy of our love? Amen. He says, remember therefore in verse 5, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. How many of you enjoy the presence of the Lord in this church? How many of you want him to not show up ever again? Do you know that you can still have church services without the presence of the Lord? It's evident throughout our country. It's evident. No, they have all the routines. They have all the right doctrine. They have all the right carrying out of separation and things of that nature. But because they have left the love of Christ, they don't love him the way they should, it's empty. It has no meaning. Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. I don't want that ever to happen here. I hope you don't either. In Matthew 15:8, and I'll close with this, it says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. When Jesus looks at me, do my words that I declare unto him, I love you, Lord. Lord, I want to live for you. Lord, I want to please you. Do they line up with how I live my life? Am I showing my gratitude to the Lord for what he's done in my life through my words only or through my words and my actions? Because talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. In Israel, they tried to butter up the Lord many occasions, but their heart was not right with him because they did not love him. In fact, they went after other gods, other idols many times. And beware of judging Israel, because we do the same thing from time to time. We can allow things to become idols in our life that draw us away from loving Christ the way that we should. Loving Christ should be the first priority in our life. Serving him, pleasing him, keeping his commandments that he has told us to do. His life is our commandment. We are to demonstrate his actions through our actions, to be like him, that we could earn that title, Christian, little Christs. Amen? Like the church at Antioch was blessed to be insulted by the world, but what a testimony. What a blessing. They act like Jesus. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what we ought to do. And I just, you know, tonight, I know it's Thanksgiving tomorrow and things of that nature, and we ought to be thankful, but I promise you, if we truly are thankful, we'll want to love Christ the way that he is worthy of being loved. And we will show that by doing our very best with his help to live for him in such a way that we honor him and glorify him and that we try to bring others to him. And I would just ask you tonight, I'm glad you're thankful. I hope you're thankful. But so many times, because we're very blessed, we're also very spoiled as a nation, as a church, let's not leave our first love. Let's make sure that we put our love right where it ought to be, to the one that deserves the preeminence, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we show him through our service to him and our love towards the brethren. Because if we don't love the brethren and we say we love God, he says we're a liar. And I don't want to be a liar. I hate lying. And I hope you do as well. But I just want my life to reflect him. I hope you're wanting your life to reflect him. And as you ponder for the next few moments, do you love the Lord the way you should? Are you trying to show the Lord that you love him? You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we're saved unto good works. Christ saved us, so now we can work and we can show people his love through our love towards them. Amen? Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for the opportunity. Lord, there's things that only you can do, and Lord, I just pray now that you would work in our midst. Lord, that you would stir our hearts. Father, I pray that these words that were mentioned tonight from your verses, the word of God tonight, I pray that they will not return void. You promise they won't return void. Lord, I do ask that you would help us all to examine ourselves. Father, help us to truly examine our love for you.
Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Help us to judge ourselves. And Father, please, if there's things that are not right in our life, that things that are displeasing to you, Lord, help us to confess those, to repent of them. Father, that you can help us to be what we ought to be. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for what you've done in my life. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to determine that I will serve you as much as I can, that I will do all that you require of me. And Father, I can't do that on empty, vain promises, but I want to do that through the Holy Ghost. And I pray that you would help me. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.